Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki. So this is Mahaprabhu speaking to Govinda Das, who has come to surrender to Him and become His personal servant. As such, it is not befitting that the Guru's servant should engage in my personal service. Yet my spiritual master has given this order. What shall I do? Purport. If a Guru's servant or disciple becomes God-brother to another disciple, they respect one another as Prabhu or Master. No one should disrespect his God-brother. For this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya what to do about Govinda. Govinda was the personal servant of Ishwarapuri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spiritual master. Ishwarapuri ordered Govinda to become Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant. So what was to be done? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was therefore inquiring from Bhattacharya, an experienced friend. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Bangam Langayate Girim Jat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhanityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we're reading of how Govinda Das received an instruction from his spiritual master. A few verses prior to this, Govinda Das is speaking, and he explains, Siddha Prapti Kale Gosai, Agya Koile Mora, Krishna Chaitanya Nikate Rahi, Sevi Haton Hara. Govinda Das says, just before his departure from this mortal world, to attain the highest perfection, Ishwarapuri ordered me to go to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and render service unto him. So Govinda Das received an instruction from his spiritual master, go and become the servant of Mahaprabhu. He arrived, and now Mahaprabhu was in a predicament, because how can he accept his own godbrother as his being his personal servant? Therefore, he was also in a dilemma that now my spiritual master has given an order, but this is not etiquette. So what shall I do? And then in the next verse, Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya gives the conclusion of what he should do. Bhatta kohe guru ragya hoya balavan guru agya na lagiye shastra praman. Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya said, the order of the spiritual master is very strong and cannot be disobeyed. That is the injunction of the Shastras, the revealed scriptures. So as we begin this pastime, a very, very important lesson in spiritual life is being given to the reader. And what is that lesson? That the instructions of the spiritual teachers cannot be disobeyed at any time. Because the instructions of the spiritual teachers are our protection in life. Can you put your hand up if you've ever seen a lion? And keep your hand up. If you've ever seen a lion face to face. Okay. Now, keep your hand up. If you saw the lion in a zoo, put your hand down. Okay? If you saw the lion in a safari park, put your hand down. So you come face to face with a lion? When did you see a lion? Face to face you came with a lion? So you're in a car? Okay, so you're in a vehicle. And Prema? Oh, but it was caged. Okay. Watch out for that shop then. If you had ever come face to face with a lion, either the lion has to be caged or you have to be protected. If you go to a zoo, you're free, but the lion is in a cage. So it's no problem coming face to face with a lion. If you're in a safari park, the lion is free, but you're in a vehicle, so you're protected. If you would come face to face with a lion that wasn't in a cage and you weren't in a protected vehicle, it may not be very good for your health. The lion, the mind is like a lion. We are living, actually Krishna says, often with our worst enemy. And in order to protect ourselves against the lion of the mind, either the mind has to be contained, or we have to be protected against our own mind. And therefore, spiritual culture enjoins regulative principles and strict regulation which acts as a cage to control the mind. Simultaneously, spiritual culture enjoins that one should follow the instructions of spiritual superiors, which acts as a protective vehicle against the onslaughts of the mind. And therefore, in a devotee's life, following regulative principles and following the instructions of superiors, of very loving friends and guides in spiritual life, is actually very, very important. Otherwise, one's mind will actually destroy their spiritual life. Every moment we are making decisions in life, and according to the decisions that we make, we have to then live with those decisions. They say good decisions are easy to make. Good decisions are hard to make, but very easy to live with. Whereas bad decisions are very easy to make, but very difficult to live with. At every moment in our spiritual life, we are making decisions. And in order to guard against the lion of the mind, we have to use and take advantage of the loving guidance and instructions of spiritual seniors in order to make sure we make the right decisions. Someone may be very, very intelligent, but they can still make the wrong decision if they don't take guidance. And who is the prime example? Arjun. Arjun is doing a whole analysis in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Adharma bibhavat Krishna pradyushanti kulastriya stri shudushta suvarsneya Jayate Varna Shankara. Arjun is doing a whole analysis of the decision that is now before him, and he's making a decision not to fight. And why is he coming to that decision? Because he has made an analysis of how this decision will affect him, how this decision will affect the family, how this decision will affect the whole community, how this decision will create problems in the short term, and how this decision will create problems for generations to come. He has done an incredible amount of analysis. I mean, think about the last time you made a decision and did that much analysis. Arjuna is a complete genius. The way he makes a decision and the thinking that he goes through is incredibly complex. But what's the net result? He's made the wrong decision. You can do so much thinking, you can do so much analysis, but you can still come to the wrong conclusion if you don't have the guidance of spiritual superiors. And therefore, you know, if someone comes and you ask them, how did you come to this decision, Prabhu? And they say, well, I've been thinking about this for a long time. And say, like, that's good to think about it, but did you get guidance? Did you get instructions from devotees who know you, devotees who you trust, devotees who you have a relationship with? Are you following Srila Prabhupada's instructions in taking this decision? And therefore, this concept of following instructions is such an important aspect of spiritual life. And we see that one who is able to follow instructions of spiritual seniors, for them, spiritual treasure is available. You know, sometimes we receive instructions and they're difficult to follow. Sometimes we receive instructions and they don't seem to make any sense. Sometimes we receive instructions from spiritual superiors and they even can seem contradictory. However, if one, as Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya is saying here, Guru Ragya Hoya Balavan, the order of the spiritual teachers is very powerful. And if one is therefore able to take these instructions, even though they may not understand it, they may not like it, or it may be uncomfortable for them, actually a great spiritual wealth will come from that. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita contains so many examples where that happened. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was in his home. And Miniketana Ram Das was offended. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami felt so bad. That very night he went to sleep. And in his dream, Nityananda Prabhu appeared. And Nityananda Prabhu said to him, Are are Krishnadas nakarah bhai, Vrindavanayah taha sarvalabhyahai. Are are Krishnadas nakarah bhai. O Krishnadas, don't worry about anything. Vrindavana yahataha, just go to Vrindavan, sarva labhya hai, and you will gain everything. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami woke up the next day, and you think like, just go to Vrindavan, but how will I go? What will I do when I'm there? Where will I live? But in the dream, Nityananda Prabhu says, nakaraha bhai, sarva labhya hai. You go, just go. You will get everything. So even though maybe Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami could not have internalized the reason why he was getting that instruction, he had great faith in the instruction. And so indeed, the next morning, he did just leave everything and he went to Vrindavan, not knowing what he would do there. What was the net result of his faith in that instruction of the spiritual master? The spiritual master told him, look, you may not understand what I'm saying, but just do it, sarva labhya hai, you will get everything. The net result of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's faith in that instruction is that he achieved the topmost residence in the universe. He was awarded a place to live at Radhakund. What was the result of his faith? That he was awarded the topmost association in the whole universe. He was living with Raghunath Das Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and so many other saints of Raj. What was the net result of his faith in the instruction? That he got the topmost service in the whole universe, the opportunity to write Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nityananda said to him, don't worry. Sarva labhya hai, you will get everything from this. Just follow the instruction. And so it's a very, very important principle in spiritual life that even if we don't know or cannot intellectualize the instructions that we're given by loving superiors, we must follow those instructions with great faith, and then the treasure will manifest in our life. So it's like that. We can't always understand. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. I remember some years ago, I don't know if they still do it, but on the Bhakta program, they used to show this video of Karate Kid, if anyone's ever seen that movie. Because you know the what was his name? Mr. Miyagi and that boy? Daniel. Yeah, Daniel LaRusso. That was his name. He wanted to learn karate. So he went to this Mr. Miyagi. And he said, don't worry, I'll teach you everything. And then for the next 2 weeks, he just told him to like clean the car, paint the walls, you know, wax on, wax off. And after 2 weeks, this Daniel LaRusso, he was so frustrated. He said, you said you're going to teach me karate, but you're just telling me to do all these chores, household chores. And then you remember that famous scene where he said, okay, wax on, wax on, and did the whole thing. And he realized that through all of these household chores, he was actually teaching him karate. But Daniel couldn't understand that. So the instructions of superiors are sometimes like that. We cannot understand why they're being given, but when they're given, we follow them. And so Govinda Das was given the instruction to just give up everything and just go and become Mahaprabhu's personal servant, and he just went. It's not easy to be a personal servant, actually. They say personal servants usually have a lifetime. 1 year or 2 years you can be a personal servant, and then you need your own space, you know. It's difficult. Even Mahaprabhu's personal servants didn't last long. Kala Krishna Das lasted a year and a half. Balabhadra Bhattacharya, he lasted just under a year. They didn't last long. It's difficult to be a personal servant. You have no life of your own. You're living around the schedule of someone else. But Govinda got that instruction and he just went. And he said, now Mahaprabhu, I'll just be your personal servant. And he ended up staying with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the rest of Mahaprabhu's life. He never left the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. And therefore Mahaprabhu gave him the name, Govinda, you are Adivasya, one who stays for a long time. Most servants, they come for some time and then they leave after some time. Come for a year and then leave. Come and go. But Govinda was such a servant, he came and he never left. He just remained as a servant. And that is very glorious. And therefore, as we continue on past the Madhya Leela into the Antya Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, then we begin to read about all the different ways in which Govinda was serving Mahaprabhu. When the Rath Yatra was going on, then Govinda, Kashishwara Pandit and many other devotees would form a circle around Mahaprabhu as Mahaprabhu danced in ecstasy in front of Jagannath. And in this way they were serving Mahaprabhu by protecting him. Govinda was every day collecting all the things that different devotees had cooked for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had to lie to all of them because so many preparations were coming and they were asking, did Mahaprabhu eat my preparation? Did he eat my preparation? And all these preparations were just piling up. So he had to like pacify them. And then finally he said to Mahaprabhu, I have to lie to all these people and tell them you've actually eaten the preparations when you haven't. So Mahaprabhu said, okay, bring all the preparations, I'll eat them all in one go. And then Mahaprabhu ate everything. Govinda used to serve Mahaprabhu by massaging his legs. We know the famous story that every day Mahaprabhu would go out into Jagannath Puri and do the Beda Kirtan. And then after taking prasadam, he would come back to the Gambira and he would lay down in transcendental exhaustion. And then Govinda would come and he would massage Mahaprabhu. And then after massaging Mahaprabhu and Mahaprabhu went to sleep, then he would leave the room and take the remnants of whatever prasadam was left. One day Mahaprabhu came and he lay down, and in transcendental exhaustion he blocked the whole doorway. So Govinda said, "Please, Mahaprabhu, move to one side so I can pass through and I can perform my service of massaging you." Mahaprabhu said, "I'm too tired. But I have to do my service for you." Mahaprabhu said, "You decide, you do whatever you want to do, but I cannot move." Govinda took his chadar off. He put his chadar over the body of Mahaprabhu and he stepped over. Wow, aparat. How can you step over the body of such an exalted spiritual personality? He did it. He began massaging Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu went to sleep and Govinda just stayed there. Mahaprabhu then woke up. "What are you doing here? So many hours have passed. Have you not gone to take prasadam?" "How could I take prasadam? You are blocking the doorway." "But why didn't you just go out the way you came in?" "No. For your service, Mahaprabhu, I can go to hell. But for my own maintenance, satisfaction, how can I do such a thing?" So in this way, Govinda was becoming such an emblem of selfless service. And this is the main teaching that we gain from the life of Govinda. How to actually become a servant. It's very, very difficult to actually become a servant, a real servant, a servant at heart. To put aside all calculations for one's own benefit, that's what it means to be a servant. To put aside all plans for one's own name and fame, that is a servant. To not be constantly thinking about what will be comfortable for me, that is a servant. And therefore, it is very difficult to actually find a genuine servant in this world. Someone who has forgotten all selfish considerations and is just ready, waiting, and willing to serve. That is so rare, that one has forgotten all their own personal concerns. One time they asked Jayananda Prabhu, "How did you become such an advanced Vaishnava?" And Jayananda, in his innocence and simplicity, said, "I don't know how to answer that question. I'm so busily engaged in service that I have no time to think about it. I'm so busily engaged in service that I have no time to think about how to become an advanced devotee." And in that simple response, the devotee realized this is actually the secret. That we find ourselves by actually forgetting about ourselves. When one gives themselves in selfless service to the Vaishnavas, then in that one actually finds their real happiness in life. And therefore, Govinda was such a personality. He was able to do that. Just give up his own personal concerns and just come as a blank slate just to serve Mahaprabhu. And therefore we're learning from the life of Govinda Das that one has to, if they want to access the highest experiences in bhakti, they have to deepen their service attitude. It's said that in the beginning of a devotee's life, we are doing what is necessary. I will serve and do all the things that are required of me just so devotees don't get on my back. And then as one is advancing in their seva bhav or their service attitude, then they are not simply doing what is necessary, but they are doing what is possible. When one increases their service attitude, they don't just think, "What can I do? What's the minimum I have to do?" But they start looking, "What is possible? What can I do? What opportunities are there to serve?" And they begin actively looking for opportunities to serve. And then it's said that as one begins to look at what is possible in terms of service, And one becomes so full in their life, a life full of service, then from doing the possible, they begin to start doing the impossible. Bhakti Tirtha Swami, he used to say, when one's desire to serve is so great that they go beyond their capacity, but they still continue to serve without hesitation, at that point empowerment occurs. It's a very deep statement he made. When one's desire to serve is so great that they go beyond their capacity, but they continue to serve without hesitation, at that moment empowerment occurs. So when one's life becomes so saturated with service that they cannot do any more, physically impossible, but their desire is so great to serve, then immediately Krishna begins to give that devotee so much empowerment so that they can begin to do superhuman things in their spiritual life. And therefore, miracles in Krishna consciousness, miraculous experiences, are the result of a very, very deep service attitude. In any community where all the devotees are in a mood of selfless service, miracles happen in such a community. In any temple where all the devotees are in this mood of selfless service, the temple becomes Vaikuntha. In an ashram, if devotees are living together and have a very, very deep mood of humble service, then the ashram becomes empowered to do amazing things. And someone in their own life, when they develop this service attitude, then Krishna begins to give empowerment to do so many amazing things. And so from the life of Govinda, we're learning that service attitude is basically the foundation of spiritual life. And deepening of this service attitude is what really gives us a glimpse of Krishna. Like, tomorrow is Gaur Purnima, and it's like, I was just in Mayapur, and you think like, I could have just stayed in Mayapur, you know, and be in Mayapur for Gaur Purnima, that would have been so nice. But it's said by the Acharyas that just as holy as the Leela Stan, just as holy as the place where the Lord performs His pastimes, is the seva stan, or the place where one renders devotional service. Just as holy as the holy dham is Bhaktivedanta Manor, because here we can render service to Krishna. And it is through that service, that selfless service to Krishna, that one actually gets a glimpse of Krishna. We are seeing Krishna on the basis of pleasing Him. And how do we please Him? Through that selfless, dedicated, committed devotional service. And therefore, okay, we may not be able to be in Mayapur to see Mahaprabhu and the Panchatattva in that very holy, wonderful place, but here in the Seva Stan, we can get the same vision of Mahaprabhu if we're able to deepen our service attitude. And so this is what qualifies us to really see Krishna. And this is what we're learning from the life of Govinda Das. One time when devotees were having a conversation, a transcendental disagreement. Many disagreements in the movement, but this was transcendental, as are many others. And the question at hand was, which are the most beautiful deities in the world? So one devotee said, no question, Radha Madhava. He said, no, Radha Shyam Sundar in Vrindavan are more beautiful. Then one devotee said, no, Radha Landinishvara, Prabhupada said. And like this, all the devotees were coming up with their own answers. And I'm sure if we would put the answers out here, we would all have an answer. And then from nowhere, one devotee came and he said, "You're all wrong." You think, he sounds very confident. Really? So which are the most beautiful deities in the world? And this devotee gave a beautiful answer. He said, "The most beautiful deities in the world are the deities that you serve with your heart. Because when we serve the deities with our heart, then those deities will reveal their beauty to us, and therefore they become the most beautiful deities in the world." And therefore, this service attitude is the foundation of spiritual life. When someone comes to spiritual life, our service attitude is so innocent and so wonderful, and devotees are so open to doing whatever is asked of them. And that service attitude is so beautiful. But then what happens in the course of time is that through maybe bad experiences or exploitation or whatever, we close up our service attitude. And we're not able to just be so magnanimous as we were previously. We become very calculative. And therefore in a community, all the devotees have to lovingly engage with each other in such a way that no one's service attitude gets abused. And no one is treated in such a way that they don't think, that they think, "I can't just be an open servant because people will exploit me." Sometimes we go on in devotional life because of bad experiences. We think to survive in the movement, I have to be very closed. But actually, it's the complete opposite. If there's so much love and trust and connection in a community where devotees can just be so open-hearted to doing whatever is asked for them, in such a community where the service attitude strives, in such a community, miracles will happen. And therefore, Govinda is teaching us this open-hearted service attitude like that.